Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready. What you gonna do? The Lord is doing what you're gonna do. What you gonna do? You better get your heart to the Lord. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
I am so delighted to be able to come into your workspace, be able to come into your living room area, and then ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. I just thank those of you that were able to tune in on tonight, and we're coming at you again at just old original time slot, 11:30, and I will be with you tonight, 30 minutes on the clock. Hallelujah. And I just hope and pray that you had a beautiful day on today. I hope and pray that all was well and continually to be well in your family circle. And I just thank God once again for all of you that were able to tune in around the globe on tonight. And we intend to have just a glorious time in the Lord, edifying and bringing you the divine word of God on tonight. And so, as you may very well know, that we are implementing prayer at the start of our program. And as I always first state, that we want to always include God in every single aspect of our lives. Because, you know, we just cannot make it without God. Hallelujah. And so we're going to go down in prayer and acknowledge the one and the only, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, of Nazareth. So I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and reference God on tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for sending us together, hallelujah, in unity, once again around this spectrum. Father God, we know that this earthly planet is not our home, but we know that you have lying in wait, prepared a mansion that's not built by the hand of man. But you are its builder, you are its creator, and you are its architect, God. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. And Father God, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word, hallelujah, to those, hallelujah, who that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. I'm asking you, God, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. And we shall all say in unity, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I'm coming to you directly live tonight. I will be taking calls, and this is a new thing that I'm just trying out on tonight, so y'all just kind of bear with me. But, you know, I got to get with the program. I'm still kind of old schoolish, but, you know, I can get with anything, you know, if it has to do with bringing the divine word of God to a hurting nation, to the souls that need to be introduced to God, you know. And we know that we can do anything through Christ that strengthens us. And so, like I said, I will be implementing calls on tonight. And so, we're going to be going on now into our scheduled program. And so I have placed on the message board, I think the sermon on tonight and the time that the allotted program will be aired. So I'm coming to you live, podcast streaming, I'm coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, and your program is The Old Ship of Zion. And so our sermon on tonight, entitled, Occupied with Heaven. I want to say that one more time. Occupied with Heaven. And we're taking our key scripture from the law of Philippians 3:20. And it reads like this. Says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we all eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that scripture reading is found in the law of Philippians 3:20. Hallelujah. And we know that in the law of Matthew 17, that it unfolds the account of what is known as the figuration. And in this scene, Jesus announced the glory that was yet to come. Jesus told three of his disciples, hallelujah, he took three of his disciples up into a high mountain and was transfigured before them. And the Bible tells us that his face shone as the sun, and his clothes were white as light. He revealed himself in a way that they had never seen him before. Replenished with light, hallelujah, as he would one day appear as the glorified Son of Man. Peter, completely perplexed by this vision, would have liked to prolong it, but the hours spent on the mountain were not to last very long. And it is true in our lives. We must return to the valley. We must return to the battleground of spiritual warfare. Prior to their descent, however, God spoke expressing his pleasure in his Son. The disciples fell on their faces to the ground and awestruck at the majesty approach of a loving God. As sinful men, they bow in fear before holy God. Though Jesus allowed only three to witness the transfiguration, one day we can attest that all who know and love him will both witness and experience a great transformation. From mortality to immortality. And our Christian hope is that one day Jesus will return triumphant, and that his people, the church, will be caught up to meet him in the clouds. We know that the transfiguration gives us a glimpse of what we'll someday experience. Hallelujah. The song that says blessed assurance, it expresses our anticipation of that day. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a partake of glory divine and of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. This is my story. Hallelujah. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And we know that the Bible tells us that we won't have to worry about the days of the week. We won't have to keep up with the day as being Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. For we know that every day will be Sunday. Every day will be Sabbath. And Sabbath will have no end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I've also heard that humor is sometimes used to deal with important things. We don't really understand. Then I would say, if that's true, I can see why there are so many jokes about heaven. And we understand so little about what life is like for those who are with the Lord. When we lose a loved one, we struggle to grasp why God needed that person more than we did. Because justice and reward are so imperfect on earth. And it seems hard to imagine a place where God perfectly administered both. So we chuckle at the story about someone who died and knocked on the pearly gates. Even the most knowledgeable theologian knows little of that marvelous place the Bible called heaven. Jesus didn't give a detailed description of life after death, but he promised his followers an eternal home with him. He said that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. That's found in the law of John 14:3. And we may not understand everything about heaven, but we believe that our Savior promised by faith in the integrity and power of the one who has spoken. We accept what we cannot fully comprehend. We live with hope and assurance of that he had in store for us. And that, my friend, is no joke. Hallelujah. People joke about heaven and hell, but I'm here to tell you that heaven and hell are no joke. It is real as the nose is on your face. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we also know that we've heard the prophet, and we've heard people who you would say so-called minded, that they are so earthly good. That we also heard about preachers. Preachers who promise their flock great rewards in heaven, but they ignore life difficulties. And some people accuse them of being pie-in-the-sky prophets who have forgotten that we must still live in the world. But we are told, according to the writer of Hebrew, that there is a proper heavenly mindedness. And it's the virtue that enabled Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to live by faith as tent dwellers in Canaan. Hallelujah. And if you read the history, you will find that the Christian who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals, who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. So that is our sermon tonight. It's occupied with heaven. And see, my job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, that you might understand and know the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And it will enable you to live a victorious lifestyle before God and before man here down here on heaven, on earthly realm. This is where we're living right now, on the earthly realm. We're not in heaven yet. We're still down here on earth. Hallelujah. And so we are told, thank you, Jesus. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. So I would suggest you to aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Hallelujah. excuse me, I'm going to have to change my audio here because it's acting up here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you, Father. We know that Christ is still on the throne. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. And like I said, if our minds are properly occupied with heaven, we can't help but do earth good. And you can go to the mountain of blessings along with the mountain prayer. Then down to the work in the valley below. Take the love light of Jesus aglow. As you mind your earthly duties, I would suggest you to keep heaven in mind. You know, that was an old song says, heaven in my view. I don't know about you that's out there in my live podcast audience on tonight, but heaven is in my view. I'm not saying that I'm ready to leave here, but I want to live my life every day as though today is my last day. And you should too. Live your life so that if Jesus were to come today, tonight, this moment, this second, that you would be ready. There is no doubt in your mind that if God was to crack that cloud, you would be ready to meet him and greet him in that great yonder. Hallelujah. That great by and by. And God tell us to be working when he comes. That means to keep on pressing on. Keep pressing your way. Keep struggling for the mark of a high calling in Christ Jesus. Because we know that God has already prepared, lying in wait for you and I, a heavenly mansion like no other mansion you've ever seen in your lifetime. You see the rich people. You see the people that got money, marble, and chalk. They're living large on Beverly Hills Boulevard. And they're living in just breathtaking estates that would blow your mind. The lawn is in immaculate condition. They have the butlers, the bartenders, the chauffeurs. They have bells and whistles at their every whim. But I'm here to tell you, there is no rich man on this planet Earth that can outdo, outshine the mansion that God has prepared for you and I. God has a mansion prepared for you and I that is not built by the mortal man, but Jesus is its creator. Jesus is its founder. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm telling you, there is no earthly house. You can look at the mansion on Beverly Hills Boulevard and it looks like a shack compared to the mansion that Jesus has ready and lying in wait for you and I. It looks like a shack. Do you hear what I'm saying? It can't compare to the mansion that God has lying in wait, in reserve for those of us that are living according to God's will and according to God's way and according to God's command. Hallelujah. I know my time is about to run out, but I still got a little more preaching to do on tonight. I come to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ on tonight. And our sermon is occupied with heaven. I'm here to tell you that this home, this earthly house that you're in right now, this is not the end of your journey. Because after this life, there is a next life. And it's called the eternal life. And the Bible says, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Because you can't serve Satan, Lucifer. You can't serve him and God all at the same time. God said you will love one and you would despise the other. God is not going to pull nobody by the hair strand, by your wig, by your toupee. He's not going to drag you nowhere. He's not going to drag you into heaven. God presents his word unto you. And it's up to you to decide. God leaves that at yours and my discretion of who you're going to serve tonight. And I know that, like I said, my time is about up. But I'm going to keep on going until the clock strikes 12. It's not over till God says it's over. And so for you that are listening out there in my podcast live audience on tonight, our sermon is Occupied with Heaven. And also we know that as Christians we are pulled in two directions. We all want to go to heaven, but we know that this life also holds great appeal. We are like the youngsters in Sunday school who listen intensely while the teacher told about the beauty of heaven. She concluded by saying, raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Everybody shot up immediately except one. Why don't you want to go to heaven, Johnny? Well, he replied, Mom just baked an apple pie for dinner. Now, we don't need to feel guilty for having a strong desire to enjoy life, to enjoy marriages, to enjoy a family, a fulfilling job, to enjoy travel or recreation. But these all have a legitimate appeal. But if the delight of our earthly home are so attractive that we lose sight of God's purpose for putting us here, something is definitely wrong. We know that the Apostle Paul had mixed feelings too. Although he believed he would be released from prison, he knew that he could possibly fall victim to Nero's sword. This created a conflict because he longed to be with Christ for that he would fall better. Hallelujah, Philippians 1 and 23. He also wanted to live not merely to enjoy life, but because he was needed by his fellow believers. Verse 24. Paul was pulled in two directions, and in both cases, it was the highest reason. What about us? We know that tempt not my soul away, because Jesus is mine. Here will I ever stay, Jesus is mine. Perishing things of clay, born but one brief day. Pass my heart away, Jesus is mine. To make the most of your time on earth, I would encourage you to always keep heaven in mind. And before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to demagnetize your mind and infuse your spirit as I have brought unto you the divine word of God. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the Archbishop of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You are certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Email address, janicealaboutgod@yahoo.com. Till we come across these skyways and highways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.